how are you? Hope you're having a great day. We're here for our regularly scheduled shenanigans, I think. We're back on schedule. If you listened to the previous episode, number 30 of season 2, we were talking about how we, how I move through and run a wedding consultation. That was a makeup episode from last week. This is the one that is supposed to be for this week, number 31 of season 2, selling to wholesale, and we're going to talk about that. But a little bit of a seasonality update while we're here. It is now the beginning of May. Mother's Day week prep and crunch and all of the above is here. It's been another challenging spring. I feel like a broken record because we always say the same thing every spring, but I just don't feel like it is how it used to be. We no longer have the actual seasons in the spring. We don't have the spring season. We just have basically late winter and then summer, and then back into late winter and then summer and then summer and then late winter and then summer, and then we're really in summer. And that's how it's been this year. We had a week of upper 80s, and then we were back down in the 20s and 30s for 2 weeks. If you've ever grown ranunculus in a greenhouse, a heated greenhouse, where the plants are already maturing, you know that that can be a struggle for many, many different reasons. That's where we're at. Infrastructure was being replaced on the farm, so that's always another, you know, hurdle or another obstacle to work around. We are in the process of replacing our CoolBot cooler units with full legit condensing cooler units. Delays are still happening, so we were without cooler for a while. So it's been an interesting spring, and there's so much more that I'll be able to share at some point, probably in another couple months. But yeah, it's been a spring for the books. Anyway, back on track. We are basically done with ranunculus season now. Peonies are coming up quickly, field tulips are basically all harvested. And now that we're into volumes of product that we need to move, this is a very timely topic for us to talk about today. We should probably do an intro. Let's do that. Thank you for being here. This is the Between Me and Drew podcast. I'm Drew. I own and operate Clara Joyce Flowers with an amazing group of people who really are the behind the scenes that make all this happen. We are a multifaceted company. We do wholesale cut flower production. We do wedding and event design. We do soft services, and we do propagation as well. So lots of things happening all the time. And all of those things take people. I think that's a really important thing to stress. It always cracks us up whenever we're watching someone talk about us on Instagram, or we're reading a review, and someone will make the comment of, you know, Drew packed my package, or Drew did this. And you know, it is very sweet, because it shows us that the touches and the effort that we are putting forward are being, you know, seen and recognized. However, this is way, way more than a one person operation. And I'm very proud of that. Besides that, we are starting to get into our direct to wholesaler sales season. And when we think about selling to wholesale, there's a few components that I want you to remember. Our discussion for today is solely focused on me as a farm, selling to a wholesaler who is then going to resell this to a florist. This is not a farmer to florist discussion. This is a farmer to wholesale distributor to florist. The reason you would want to approach a sales channel or even approach a floral wholesaler is because you are typically going to be able to move a larger volume sometimes rather than if you were going direct to a florist. And that's not always the case, but it opens up the opportunity and it opens up the door for that scenario and that situation to happen. When I started growing flowers full time, I was dead set on, I'm going to build my business by selling to wholesalers. And while that has been a component of our company since then, it's not how I have built Clara Joyce. The wholesale operations here at Clara Joyce really are florist driven. That's how our business has grown, is us selling direct to florists. As we continue to expand and produce on more land and produce more volume, now we're kind of making a circle back to the wholesaler and asking, okay, how can we incorporate this type of clientele back into the program, basically. Things that we've learned along the way. That's what we're going to talk about today. It's going to be good. So I would say the biggest thing let's take that back. There are lots of things that you can consider to be big and important when it comes to working with a wholesaler or selling direct to wholesale. And we're going to touch on some of the big ones. The first thing is that wholesalers are oftentimes used to or comfortable with South American product and import product and that process. So many of the, South American or even standard conventional farms, regardless of where they're located, are so dialed in as far as crop availability. And they know that there will, always be a constant supply of the red freedom rose, or there will always be the constant supply of the peach shimmer, or whatever the case is. That is something that isn't super, super applicable for us as a very seasonally oriented producer. So that was hurdle number one to try and maneuver around. If you go back and listen to episodes in regards to us selling direct to florists, you'll learn that we sell a lot of our product on a pre-order basis for florists. And you could even say that for a lot of the retail stuff that we provide also, like rooted cuttings, tubers, etc. It's important for us to be able to crop forecast, because when we want to sell to a larger client like a wholesaler, they need that time, because they need time to adjust standing orders with import farms. They need to have time to sell that product. They're operating on pre-sales also with the florist and floral clients that they are working with. So all of those things take time. So you need to be good at crop forecasting. Now, having said that, sometimes even the best laid and the best intentioned plans don't always come to fruition exactly as we plan them to. Whether it's a week of summer in the winter and all your ranunculus bloom, or it's... who knows? There's a big storm that comes in and all of your peonies are screwed up, or, you're wiped out of dahlia production for 2 weeks because of a storm, or whatever the case is. So when situations do like that arise, that immediate communication is huge. And one thing that I've I had to work through last year in the 2022 season was that not all wholesalers are very understanding or understanding at all of the fact that we literally have things, organisms, growing in a field that we have zero control over from a environmental perspective. And sometimes shit happens. Yeah, that was a bummer last year because, a perfect example, we delivered a huge, huge load of white ball dahlia right after a rain, and the dahlia never dried out after they were harvested or before they were harvested. And they were literally rotting in the wholesaler's cooler, and that wholesaler never purchased from us again. And that was in the beginning of dahlia season. So that was like the second week of August. And they refused to order after that. So it is, it's tough. It's not a walk in the park. It's not, you know, that glamorized one-time sales transaction that, you know, sometimes we are told or what we think selling to wholesale is. The other thing too is when you are selling to wholesale, the expectations are very, very high, very high. There is very little room for error. There is the thought concept or the thought process of, oh, I'll sell my number one quality to my florists, and then I'll sell my number twos to the wholesaler. No, that's not how that works. That's not how that goes. The reason I would probably steer you against that thought process is because the wholesale house that you're selling to usually is only ever getting the top quality of whatever commodity product that it is that they're purchasing. Very rarely are there commodity crops that, you know, the scraps are being sold to the wholesalers. That wholesale company is then also going to resell that to a florist who also has very high, sometimes much higher expectations, sometimes which are unrealistic, but that's beside the point. And you really have to provide, the best that you possibly can. And if it's short or if it's not enough, then that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. And I know that we have crops that really aren't up to par. And if they're not up to par, or if I don't have the volume to supply, I just won't even offer it. So there's definitely a thought process that, or a learning curve, we could say, when it comes to selling to wholesale, that you need to either be aware of or have some understanding of. I think the other biggest hurdle or jump to maneuver mentally was that of the price points. When we talk about pricing, I think that we need to be realistic from a couple different perspectives. We need to be realistic in what we have invested into the crop from an input perspective. You know, making sure that you're keeping track of, you know, your plug cost, your seed cost, your supply cost, your labor, all that stuff. You also need to be realistic of where the current market price is for that product that you're wanting to sell. Because there are times when you can produce a crop and sell it to a wholesaler for way, way less than they are used to being charged. And that, I'm going to offend some people here. I would consider that a win, because that shows me and shows my wholesaler that I am able to produce this at a less cost, and it's going to make everyone more profitable. It's going to make me more profitable because the wholesaler is going to be able to sell more of it. It's going to make their florist customer more profitable because if it's a higher valued or a higher perceived value stem that they're going to be able to use more of, that's going to give them a better show, a better product, a better look overall, etc. So there's definitely, you know, some things to keep in mind in regards to price. The flip side of that price point discussion is you need to be aware of what the going retail or the going wholesale price of something is, because if you are way, way too high on something, you need to figure out how to become more competitive or why your product is better, and prove it and show it on a consistent basis. So it's not like you can usually just walk in and be like, here's two buckets of peach ranunculus. Merry Christmas. Pay me. It's not always like that. Peach ranunculus are available year-round. The quality is usually pretty solid. So in order for you to get into that market or sell that product to the floral wholesaler, you're going to need to show them why they should do that. Can you produce it and sell it for less? Can you provide a better quality? Can you produce a more consistent crop? Is your crop unique because of, you know, a thicker stem? Is your crop unique because of a thinner, more dainty stem? All of those things can matter and make a difference. So that's another thing to think about and to maneuver in to, you know, when you are building that relationship. I think opening the door, getting a foot in the door is also a huge, huge first step. I would venture to say that the best way to start to sell to a wholesaler, is to start with one location. Sometimes the floral wholesaler that is in your area or that serves your area might be part of a larger company. There might be multiple locations, maybe under a different name, different brand, but all owned by a similar entity. Instead of targeting all 32 locations that are across the country, just start with the one that's closest to you. Show up, be friendly, have product in hand. Show them what you're capable of producing. Start to build that relationship. That's also a great time for you to get on their availability lists. And on that availability list, or a sale list, they might call it, or a specials list, you'll be able to see what those commodity prices are that they are charging. So when you are able to get that information, then that makes it a lot easier for you to figure out what you should be charging the wholesaler, or what you could be charging the wholesaler. When it comes time to backpedal from the price that's on the sales list to the price that you're charging the wholesaler, I will usually go half to 40%. So if they're selling something for $10 and I have the same thing and I want to sell it to them, I would try to come in at either $5 or $6. And then they can mark it up either the remaining 40% or 50% to get it to that $10 price point. If what I am selling them is way, way better than what they currently have, and I know it and they know it, then you can charge them more, because they are going to charge their customer more. If you need to do that from a business and a financial standpoint. on that same thought process of pricing, another big hurdle for me, and I actually had a really, really great discussion with Bethany from Charles Little and Company this past winter about this. When you really dive into selling to wholesalers, you need to be very comfortable with the fact of you are not going to be paid $10 a bunch for most things. There are going to be items where you might only be paid $4 a bunch or $5 a bunch if it's a very easy to grow cut and bunch crop. There might be items where you charge the wholesaler $8 or $10 a bunch. But that's not all the time. So you really have to kind of root into the comfortability of that mindset of knowing that I'm not charging them what I would be making at a farmer's market or what I would be making at a pop-up or whatever, but I'm moving a larger volume of it. And as long as that equation works for you and it still leaves you profit at the end of the day, then you can ask yourself, okay, is that the type of transaction and relationship that I enjoy, or do I enjoy having that one-on-one communication? If you enjoy being able to sell a larger volume on a pre-sale basis for a little bit less money and not have to talk to as many people, then that might be a great avenue for you to pursue. If you can check off all of the other boxes that go along with that. So there definitely are, you know, pluses and minuses and things to understand. Alongside or kind of on the back end of the pricing scenario or situation, wholesalers can be a little bit more hands-on or labor-intensive sometimes. If you deliver a crop that goes down or falls short and it just, it collapses in the coolers and it's not holding up for florists or whatever the case happens to be, and it's grower error or it's crop error, there might be times when the wholesaler requests a credit, just like a florist will. So that is, you know, one other thing to keep in mind. The other thing too is that very, very few wholesalers are pay on delivery. They're usually net 30 or net 60. So it does take them some time to pay their bill. So you really need to be aware of that possibility and that potential going into that relationship as well. This is a little bit of a struggle with some of the wholesale houses that we work with too, but they can also oftentimes operate on a very tight notice, very short schedule. It's not uncommon for us to, especially in dahlia season, get a phone call or an email at like 3 o'clock on a Tuesday from a broker being like, I need 30 bunches of pink dahlia delivered tomorrow. Can you do it? And it's like, oh shit, that's like almost $500. I'm not going to say no. So it's like, yes, yes, Kevin, I can do that. No problem. So things like that happen. So you have to, kind of, know that the potential for that is there also. Do you have the bandwidth to do that at the end of the day? Do you have the staff to help facilitate that type of transaction and that sale? Is your wholesaler going to pick up, or do you need to deliver it? Are they close enough where you can drive it to them, or do you have to ship it? Again, those are all things to really grasp and keep in mind. There are many, many wholesalers that will come to your farm to pick up, and that's great because they've already got the delivery trucks on the road. With that, you need to know that once that truck leaves your farm with that product, that it is going straight back to the warehouse, and it's going in the cooler. Oftentimes, the delivery drivers get back to the warehouse after all of the sales reps have gone home. So there's times when, and there have been times when, our buckets of dahlias will sit in a hot delivery van at 80 degrees nighttime temperature overnight. And then in the next morning, they're like, oh, well, these look like shit. And it's like, yeah, they look like shit because nobody got them into the damn cooler. What do you expect? So there's that hurdle also. So, you know, if that is the case or the scenario or the situation, it's you calling up the buyer that you work with and being like, hey, I know you know that these are coming, but I need to make sure that they get in the cooler because I can't afford to credit you another $500 on product that went bad because of something that was out of my control and it was within your control. So it's, you know, figuring that out. If that level of accountability isn't there from the purchaser, then it's turning into a delivery situation. So instead of them picking up, it's us taking it to them during the business day so that we know once it's delivered, it's going to the cooler. It's going into cold storage. There's no hot boxing overnight in the van. So that's one other thing to keep in mind too. We're going to take a little break. Okay, I'm back. You didn't know that I was just gone for 45 minutes to do wedding consultation, but surprise, if you listened to the episode that I posted earlier this week, you would know how I did that. So, ta-da, there we go. Yes, let's wrap this sucker up. So, selling to wholesale, things to keep in mind. Quality is huge. Availability is huge. Being able to be flexible if needed is very, very important. Also understanding that there are sometimes going to be things that just happen, whether it's your flowers hotboxing in a van sitting in a asphalt parking lot overnight in the middle of summer, or if it's, you know, having to be patient for your check to come, or, you know, whatever the case is, those are all things that can and do happen when it comes to selling to wholesalers. You know, there are so many really outstanding wholesalers who have and maintain tremendous relationships with small farms, just like you and I. And there are some of those, there are also some that aren't the greatest to work with, and they have very, very unrealistic expectations and standards. And sometimes those aren't the best ones to work with. So you also have the ability to, say who you do and who you do not do business with. So please don't let someone strong arm you or threaten to blackmail you into saying that they have exclusivity over their product, even though they refuse to sign exclusivity statements and contracts. But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. So let's not dive too far into that rabbit hole, shall we? However, I think our time here is done. So, I am departing. I get to go make deliveries and pick up supplies, and it is going to be another long night. So I hope you have a tremendous week and weekend. I hope you are all set and prepared for Mother's Day, which is next week. We're all wishing you all the best. I'm wishing you grace from your customer's perspective. I'm wishing you fabulous weather from a grower's perspective. I'm wishing you all just the best. That's all we can hope for. That's all we can wish for each other. So, yeah, that's what we got. Spring season is here, babe. We're all getting emo. We're all getting tired, and, summer is coming, and it's going to change, and it's all going to be lovely. So I will talk to you next week. We're going to be talking about dahlia cuttings, kind of how to succeed with dahlia cuttings from a growing perspective, things you can expect, things you should be aware of, and just some general things to keep in mind. So I will talk with you next episode, and that is number 32 of season 2. We're almost halfway done with this second season. Holy buckets. Anyway, gotta go. Bye.